right, if you would turn to Philippians chapter number 4. We'll be in verse number 8 and 9 today. Moving right along. Not many verses left in the book of Philippians. Let's read together Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8 and verse number 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for your word, and we're thankful for another time that we have to gather together with the church and to read your word and to think on your word and to hide it in our hearts. We pray that you'll bless this time together. Help us to be conformed to the image of Christ through the power of your Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the topic today is think. So if you were going to come and sleep through the sermon, you won't be able to do that today, right? And I really do. I want you to think about your thinking. Now, that's a unique thing to say, isn't it? But think about the things that you that go on in your mind. If your mind is like mine, and your mind might not be as out of whack as mine is, hopefully yours is a little more sane. But mine is almost as if there are about three movies playing 24/7 in the images of my mind all the time. And I'm always trying to divide them up and get them whether you don't want to hear all this, do you? You don't need to know these things about me. But if you're like, you know, I imagine you have thoughts that are going. I think that you think. Oh, me. It's going bad from the get-go, isn't it? So I want you to think this morning, as we go through this and Paul addresses our thinking, I want you to consider your own thinking in your mind. Now, as before we get into this, I want you to, let me give you a, y'all want a joke? Of course you do. So Barney pulls over Gomer Pyle, right? Now, you've seen the episode of this, Citizen's Arrest. Barney pulls him over, and then Gomer gets mad, and Barney does the same U-turn, and he arrests him. Citizen's Arrest. You know, well, there was another one. It didn't make it on TV. And so Barney pulls him over, and he says, how about some ID? And Gomer says, ID about what? He said, I ain't got no ID. Okay. So hopefully you've got an ID this morning, right? A driver's license and some ideas, some thinking. Notice the progression with me in this chapter. We've already studied from the beginning of the chapter that when there are disagreements, we should pursue unity, and along with this comes rejoicing and moderation. Last week we discussed that when there is anxiety, we should pray. And here we see that when life is disorderly, the cure for this is mental and practical discipline. Paul says in verse number 8 to think, and think like this. In verse number 9, he says, once you're thinking this way, then there's some things you need to do. So think and do. So notice those together with me in the text today. Verse number 8, think. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what? Think on these things. Think. It's important that we think. Now, I want to get to the verse in just a moment. I want to get to the eight things that he discusses here that we should think to. But if you can give me just a little bit of a leash here, I don't want to leave the context of this passage, but I kind of do just a tiny little bit. He does say think on these things, and I want to address that first. Think, that we should be thinkers. I want to encourage you to be people who think. God has blessed us with the wonderful organ called the brain. Anybody in here have a brain this morning? Spouses, you can't answer for the person sitting next to you today, all right? That's impossible. You can't do that. Our brain is the most complex and important part of our human bodies. The brain is the physical host of the spiritual soul and spirit. Spiritual warfare is either won or lost in the battlefield of the mind. And it's so important that we control our thoughts. It is so important that we are thinkers. It is so important that we keep the good thoughts in and the bad thoughts out. Our thoughts are important. There's never been a word said, an action taken, good or bad, that was not first a thought. Consider that. There's never been a thing done upon the face of the earth that was not first a thought. Now, we'll say at times, well, I wish I had thought before I did that. Or I wish I would have thought before I said that. But I think that that's humanly impossible. We may not have thought it through, but we had the thought before it became an action. At least I think so. Okay, all right. I'll stop the think jokes. They're not working very well. A philosopher said it this way. He said, watch your thoughts. They become words. Watch your words. They become actions. Watch your actions. They become habit. Watch your habits. They become character. Watch your character. It becomes your destiny. There's wisdom in that. Warren Wiersbe put a spiritual worldview to that, and he says, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. It all begins within our thinking. Over and over, the Bible speaks of the mind and thinking. We believers have this bad habit of being people who are led by the heart. Are you that way? You know, just what I feel in my heart that I need to do. And I'm not telling you that's wrong, but I want to encourage you this morning to be people who think. The Bible speaks of our mind and our thinking. Romans 12:2, Paul writes, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Philippians 4:8, we read this morning, it says, think on these things. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Well, if we don't war after the flesh, then what do we war after? Verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 10, he tells us, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It all begins in the mind. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Philippians 2:5, which we focused on a lot through this study in the book of Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we are to be thinkers. But most importantly, Paul says, think on these things. So let's look at what these things are that we're supposed to think about. First, things that are true. Years back, a survey was conducted on worry. I really worry about this survey on worry. The survey reported that only 8% of things people worried about were legitimate matters of concern. The other 92% were either imaginary, never happened, or involved matters over which the people had no control anyway. Ever worried over things like that? Imaginary, boy, I spent a lot of my time worrying over hypothetical situations. That's a sad use of my time, isn't it? Well, it hurts my feelings. No, it does not. But or imaginary things that never happen, or things that are I'm involved in that I have no control over anyway. I mean, what really do we have control over? Much. I mean, most of it's out of our hands as we go through life. We just kind of take it as it comes. And here we are worrying about it. Think, but Paul says here, think on things that are true, not things that are a lie. Satan is a liar. John 8:44 says, there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. It just tickles me to get to use a verse this morning to call Satan what he is. Because he is a liar. And he should be brought out more than he is about what he is and what he does. He wants to corrupt your minds with his lies. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 11, he says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Satan lies to corrupt your mind. He can win the battlefield of your mind. He can control your life. Why do you think Christians get discouraged? Why do you think saved people do things that you would think, I don't see how a saved person with the joy of the Lord can do that? The battle of the mind begins to be lost. Their soul is saved. But the mind, renew your mind. Think on these things. Think on things that are true, not things that are false, not things that are lies. What did Satan say to Eve in Genesis 3? He didn't tell her a lie, particularly, did he? He just questioned the truth. Yea, hath God said. Yeah, God had said. But he got her to begin questioning what she believed. The Holy Spirit controls our minds through truth, but the devil tries to control them through lies. Whenever we believe a lie, Satan takes over. What is truth? I'll give you a hint. Word of God. is truth. So Paul says, first, think on things that are true. Next, things that are honest and just. Honest and just. Worthy of respect and right. Think on those things. There are many things that are not respectable, and as Christians, we should force ourselves not to think about these things. I'm going to pick on commercials here for a moment. There are some very not respectable commercials on TV. Now, there's some very funny ones. There are some that I really enjoy, that I like. They're a lot of fun. You know, I was telling somebody the other day, I wish this show would hurry up and get over so I could see the commercials that I paid for. You know, I want them to come up on my screen so I can watch them. That was sarcasm. I don't think I got the point across there. But some are just despicable. Some are just, you know, it's 4 in the afternoon and I'm having to, like, guard the TV before my little boy's eyes there, thinking, you're trying to sell hamburgers and you're doing this, you know. It's like, what in the world's going on? And as Christians, it's important that we guard our minds and our thoughts from things that are not honest or just. Now, this doesn't mean that we hide our heads in the sand, because we can't just avoid everything that's unpleasant or displeasing. Trust me, I try. Try my best to avoid things that are unpleasant or displeasing. But sometimes in life, we're going to encounter those things. What this means is that we don't focus our attention on dishonorable things and permit them to control our thoughts. Well, how do we do this? Well, the first thing I would challenge you to do is to spend some time thinking through what you've been thinking about. You may surprise yourself on what's actually going on inside your mind that you wouldn't dare let out with your mouth, in your actions, in your style of living. But it's happening up here as if that were your reality. Think about what you've been thinking about. Consider those things and guard your thoughts. Renew your mind. Think on things that are true. Think on things that are honest. Think on things that are just. And then he says, think on things that are pure and lovely and of a good report. Now, pure here most likely refers to moral purity. People then and now were constantly attacked by temptations to sexual impurity. Your mind is a battlefield. Win those battles. How do you do that? Think pure thoughts. Force yourself to think pure thoughts. You may have to be silly with it to start with. You may have to think rainbows and butterflies and unicorns or whatever it is to think pure thoughts. But think pure thoughts. Win that battle in your mind. I'll tell you this, if you don't begin to win the battle of your mind, you'll lose the battle out in here in life. You'll say, how in the world did I ever get around to doing this? You just started it right here. You played that thing out in your mind, and before you knew it, it was okay in real life, you thought. Win the battle of your mind. Think on things that are pure. Think on things that are lovely. Lovely things. Beautiful things. Attractive things. Now, there are so many lovely things in this sinful world. But I'm going to tell you, we've been fooled as God's people into thinking that it's a sin for us to enjoy beautiful and attractive things in this world. That's just not the case. In fact, you can make a better case in Scripture that it's a sin for us not to enjoy beautiful and attractive things in this world. I'll say this, and please don't take me up on it next week, but or if you are next week, that's all right. But I don't think I've ever looked down on any of you when you said to me, I'm heading off to the mountains. I usually say, good, can I come? But you know, you miss the weekend at church, but that's all right. It's good for you to get away and to enjoy some things that are beautiful and attractive and just wonderful in this world. There's wonderful music out there that you should let your ears hear. There's wonderful sights that you should see. Waterfalls and mountains and architectural wonders and ball games and whatever else that you want to see. A new handbag or something that you should take in with your eyes. Ask your husband before you take in that new handbag with your money. But things that are beautiful, things that are attractive. We've allowed Satan to lie to us. We've allowed Satan to cause us to act in ways that are sinful with beautiful and attractive things in life, to where we have to feel guilty when we take them in, or we're taking them in improperly. Think on things that are lovely. I like to listen to classical music. Can't tell you much about it. I don't usually know who I'm listening to. Sometimes I can. When I was in school, I took a music appreciation course, and there was a tape. Most of you know. Well, everybody in here probably knows what a tape is. Sad that that's become an old thing, isn't it? I mean, it's just, My boys think my car is old because I have a tape player, where their mom's car has a DVD player. You know, it's new, has a DVD player, but mine just has a tape player. But I like that mine has a tape player because I can do a whole lot more with my tapes than you can with a DVD player. But I had a tape when I was in school, and you had to put it in and listen to it, and it would say, you know, Johann Sebastian Bach. And then they would tell you the piece that he was about to play, and then you would hear the music. Well, the point of that was is they wanted you to be able to recognize the composer and the piece by hearing the music. Then you had a test, and they would play a piece of music, and you had to write down on your paper who did it. And I didn't do so great on the test. I even tried the subconscious way. I'd put on headphones at night when I went to sleep, and I'd play that tape thinking, this will just get in my brain like that. Didn't work out so well. So I can't tell you much about it, but I do enjoy listening to classical music. It's one of those lovely things in life. That may not be your thing. You might just like to hear just, you know, old school country music. You might just like to hear them wailing and whining and, you know, doing the thing that they do on there. And that might be the lovely thing for you. That is all right. But whatever it is for you that is lovely, take that thing and enjoy it. But be careful that while you're enjoying that thing, that you do not allow it to become a sin, or you don't sin while you're enjoying it. If I should be reading my Bible and I turn on my classical music because I say, well, Lord, this is lovely, and it makes me think lovely things and it puts a lovely smile on my face, I'm probably actually sinning because there's something else that I should be doing. But there are so many lovely, attractive, beautiful things in this world that we should enjoy. So think on things that are true. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, worth talking about. You guys ever talk about something and you think to yourself, this is not even worth talking about? I'm kind of like that a little bit with small talk. But you have to have small talk. But I'm usually thinking in the midst of, you know, how you doing? How's the weather? You know, how's your mother? You know, all these kind of things. I'm going to get in trouble for that. My mother's sick this morning, and I'm talking about not wanting to talk about how's my mother. Can I rewind that one and take it back in? But you know, you get on the phone with somebody, you have to have, you know, it's a little bit of small talk there to establish a conversation to get to what you're getting to, you know. I'm bad if you ever get on the phone with me. I have the worst phone manners in the whole world, I think. I just want to get right to it and get back off the phone, you know. Hey, you going to be there and do that thing that I need you to do? Okay, bye. You know, that's how it is for me. But I'm sorry that I'm that way. That's just how it is. But some things just aren't worth talking about. Of good report. He says, think on things that are worth talking about. Things that are appealing. The believer has to major on high and noble thoughts, not the base thoughts of this corrupt world. We say some things are better left unsaid. And this is true. Like my jokes. But probably these things that we would say, well, that's just better left unsaid, should also be left out of our thinking. If they're better left unsaid with our mouth, why would you waste brain power thinking about them? And then things of virtue and praise. If it has virtue, it'll motivate us to do better. So think on it. If it has praise, it's worth sharing with others. Think on it. Don't waste energy on thoughts that tear down. Even thoughts that tear others down that you think are not hurting you at all are actually tearing you down because they're giving you a negative composure on the outside. As the inside is, so is the outside, the Bible teaches us. A man thinketh in his heart, so is he. From the abundance of the heart come the words of the mouth. It's important that you control your thinking. Now we have this list here. What is truly the only thing on earth that can be described by this list? I mean, I said country music and buildings and waterfalls and mountains. Those are poor examples. What is truly the only thing on the face of the earth that can be described by this list? Everything listed here. The Word of God, right? That's truly the only thing. Think on these things. It's true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, of virtue, praise. Thinking on these things and having a mind like this, renewing your mind, requires saturation of God's Word. You can get this list and tape it to your windshield this week and say, these are the only things I'm going to think about all week long. But if you do not dive into the Word of God and saturate yourself with it, it won't work for you. Saturate yourself in the Word of God. Start reading a little bit every day. Read more and more as best you can. So thinking on these things, this is not the end. There's some action required. Paul says in verse 8 to think, but in verse number 9 he says to do. Notice verse 9 with me. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Thinking like this should result in a certain standard of living. Paul says, don't just think on these things, do these things. And the result will be experiencing the God of peace. Do what you have learned and received. You see, it's not simply enough to just learn the truths of God's Word. We must also receive them into our hearts. There are many things in life that I have learned. You know, I'm no longer ignorant about those things. I've learned the speed limits around here. I've learned who the governor is. I've learned that certain people think this way about certain things. But while I have learned those things, I haven't necessarily received them all into my heart, thus into my practice. I've learned the speed limit. I'm not ignorant of it, but I evidently haven't received it because sometimes I push the gas pedal just a little bit farther down, right? And that thus I am not doing these things. I'm not thinking of them. I'm not doing them. Paul says, learned and received. Did anybody else in here, and this was the case for me, grew up in church all your life, went to Sunday school, but it was later from the time you were a child and learned of the truths of God's Word before you actually became a Christian? Anybody else in that same boat? Yeah, several of us in that same boat. You see, we had learned, I could tell you every Bible story out there. I knew Moses and Abraham and David. David and Goliath was my favorite when I was a little boy. I just thought that was the greatest thing in the world. You threw a rock at him. All little boys like throwing rocks. I mean, you let two little boys go out there in the gravel today after church and get to fighting, my two little boys usually, one of them will find a rock and throw it at the other guy. I mean, that's just what little boys do. And man, I thought, but this guy was 9 feet tall. And to me, David was my size. You know, he wasn't quite that small, but in my mind he was. I'm 8 years old, I guess. And David is my size. And he threw a rock at him and killed him. I thought, this is the greatest weapon in the whole wide world. I would go home and try to make my own slings. You know, I thought, man, I know how to have this for protection. I love those stories. And I knew about Peter walking on water. And I knew about Jesus. I knew all of these stories. I had learned them, but I'd never received them into my heart. The day came when the Holy Spirit of God convicted me. However you want to call it, He convicted me. He knocked on my heart. He brought me to an awareness of my lack of salvation. Whatever word you want to put there, I think those of you who are saved know exactly what I mean. Those of you who are not saved, that's what you're looking for, by the way. The Holy Spirit of God to awaken you, to quicken you, bring you alive. You're dead in your trespasses and sin. And that day came. And then all of those things that I had learned could finally be received into my heart. Now, I'm saying heart a lot here, but we're speaking of the mind there. My physical heart is just a muscle, right? Pumps blood. There's no thinking in my heart. As far as I know, I'm no doctor. I just play one on TV or in the pulpit. So he says, the things that you have learned and received, when you receive them in your heart, then you can do those things. And then he says, do what you have heard and seen. Paul was the example. He lists himself there as that. The things you have heard and seen in me, do. He was an example to them. Some had seen his actions. Most of the rest had at least heard of his actions. And this church in Philippi was to put into practice the things that they had heard, seen in Paul. So think and do, and then what is the result? The God of peace will be with you. Now this is great. I mean, last time we just said that the peace, you would have the peace of God, which is good. I want the peace of God. I don't want conflict. I want unity. I want to be able to rejoice. I want to be able to have moderation. Right? I want to get rid of my anxiety. I don't want to be careful for anything. I just want to pray about everything. And I want to have the peace of God because of all of that. But now Paul takes it a step further. He says, think like this. Do these things. And not only will you have the peace of God, but the God of peace will be with you. Well, that's special, isn't it? Wonderful. God's peace especially resides in those who have ordered their lives in accordance with God's will. And now this includes our thinking and the things that we do. Thinking. We are to have proper and disciplined thoughts. Think on these things, he says. And then the things that we do. Christian living, we call it. Renewing your mind will result in renewed living. You allow your mind to be renewed, you will live in a way that you never thought possible. And people will look at you and think, I want to live like that. I want to live in a way that they are living. And that begins by renewing your mind. We take Romans 12, 1 and 2 there. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And we focus more on the physical aspect of that. But he ends with the spiritual and the mental aspect of saying, be not conformed to this world, verse 2, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove, what is that? Good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now verse 1 says to do that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 2 says if you will allow your mind to be renewed, you can prove what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. I got those backwards there. Good, acceptable, perfect will of God in your life. But it all comes back to first allowing your mind to be renewed. This has to do with your thinking. Then you can have good Christian living. So Paul gives us multiple thoughts here on peace. When anxious, pray and peace will come. When your life is a mess, think right, do right, and peace will follow. So I'd ask you today in closing, how is your thinking? You know, you can take your actions, the things that you do, and your level of peace and easily answer that question. If you don't have peace, your thinking's not right. If you're not acting in a way that's pleasing to you and to those around you and especially to God, then your thinking's not right. So let's stand today and have prayer and consider that today. How is my thinking? Think on these things.